Brother Brian asks that we read from Romans chapter 15, verses 1 to 13. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak, and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproached thee fell on me. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one towards another according to Christ Jesus, that ye may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore, receive ye one another, as Christ also received us to the glory of God. Now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of circumcision for the truth of God, to confirm the promises made unto the fathers, and that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy, as it is written, for this cause I will confess to thee among the Gentiles, and sing unto thy name. And again he saith, rejoice, ye Gentiles, with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all ye Gentiles, and laud him, all ye people. And again, Isaiah saith, there shall be a root of Jesse, and he that shall rise to reign over the Gentiles, and him shall the Gentiles trust. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. For all those who are able, let's kneel for prayer.
Greet each one of you tonight in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I was asked to give a short update on Nathan. He has improved somewhat today. He was able to sit up for a number of minutes, and he ate a little bit today, and he felt some better. He has been diagnosed with malaria, a very slight case of it, and he completed the 3 days worth of treatment for his malaria. Yesterday he was given the last of the treatment for that. But they're still attempting, going through tests to figure out what else he has. He's very yellow, and his liver enzymes are elevated, and they think perhaps it's yellow fever, they don't know, but it's a whole list of things that they're testing for, and tomorrow we hope to have results of that. But that being said, he did feel better enough today, good enough to sit up and talk a little bit today. He was awake. I was with him this morning. We listened to the opening. He did hear you pray for him, and he thanks you for that. I sort of struggled with concentration this week, what to talk about. I had a sermon all but finished on taking the annual visit seriously. And on the way home last night, I changed my mind. I trust that each of you take the annual visit seriously. I'll give you the sermon in two lines, but think about the questions you're asked before the deacons get there. Take it seriously. If you don't think it's important, read 1 Corinthians chapter 11. It is very important. Just don't say yes, because it's what the deacons want to hear. It's what the church wants to hear. It's what your family wants to hear. Examine yourself before they get there. Take it seriously. There's a 45-minute sermon in two lines, maybe. But what I chose to talk about tonight, and I sort of had a burden on it on my way home last night, I'd like to talk about our hope. the hope that we have. So this morning in the hospital room, I penned a few lines and put a few thoughts down. The sermon is basically for me tonight, that I would hear it, but as you listen in, as I preach to myself, I hope that you're encouraged and built up in the faith. Our hope. In Romans 15 that our brother read, it talks about, in verse 13, abounding in hope. Abounding in hope. It means having a hope that's overflowing. Overflowing. In abundance. Abounding in hope. Turn, if you would, to 1 Peter chapter 1. I'd like to look at a few verses there. 1 Peter chapter 1. Beginning at verse 3. 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning at verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Because of God's grace, his love, and his mercy, he has given us a hope. When we were born again, we were made new creatures, new creations in Jesus Christ. And because of that new birth, along with it, we were given a hope. A hope that's a living hope. A hope that it's alive and growing and available. It's a hope that's incorruptible. It's perfect. It's pure. It's undefiled. And it fades not away. It fades not away. I trust each of you, whatever your condition today, are experiencing an abounding, a living hope that's available to you. It's a precious gift given to you by a loving God. Last year, about this time, if you recall, Nathan fell off the back of one of our trucks and broke his leg. When we brought him home that evening and the next day, I watched him struggle. Not so much physically, but spiritually. I watched him struggle with doubts and fears as he asked his question, why me? Why now? Does God really love me? If God really loved me, would he let that happen to me? He could have prevented it. He knew it was coming. And it's a struggle that's very real. It's a struggle that's very real, and it's hard. I rejoiced with him when he had victory over that struggle. But I watched him go through the same struggle now. He said, is this 2019 all over again? Why God, why me, not again? I know some of you are struggling today. I see you, and my heart goes out to you. Struggling with sickness that draws on and on and on. Struggling with death of loved ones. Struggling with a burden for unsaved loved ones in your family. Loved ones that you prayed for years and years with seemingly no results. Some of you are watching those that you love dearly suffer. Some of you are growing old and body and minds are failing. And you ask why. If God really loved me, would he let this happen? We find in a minute, in a second, lives are changed, aren't they? In a second, a small insect can bite you, and you're changed for life. I was reading today of a girl in the Midwest who was bitten by a mosquito. Contracted that equine encephalitis, She was top of her class, vibrant, full of life. And that fast she's paralyzed, a vegetable. In a split second, dreams are gone, life has changed. What we want to do, we can't. We're disappointed, we're discouraged, and we're ready to give up. I'm here to remind you tonight that you have a hope. You have a hope. You need not live in that condition of discouragement, disappointment. You not only have a hope, it's a living and abundant hope. In a number of places of Scripture, Paul prays for his fellow believers. In the portion of Scripture that was read for you tonight from Romans 15, in verse 13, Paul again prays for believers. He says, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost." Paul prays for all believers that the God of hope would fill you with hope, that you would abound in hope. There are a number of brothers and sisters that are in our prayer list week after week, month after month, year after year. Perhaps you wonder what to pray for. Pray for them that they might have hope. Pray for them that the God of hope would fill them with hope. Would fill them with hope. What is hope? How would you define it? Strong's, we find, defines it as an anticipation, a confidence, an expectation. Hope is not based on wishful thinking. You know, if someone asks you, "Are you coming to visit me tomorrow?" and you say, "Well, I hope to," or "I hope so," that's not what biblical hope is. Biblical hope is a confidence, a trust, based on the finished work of Jesus Christ. It was summed up clearly in that verse in 1 Peter 1 that we looked at. A living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Our hope is based on the confidence in the one true and living God. Our hope is based on the God who had a plan of ours for our salvation. It's based on the same God who loved you enough to send his only begotten Son to suffer and die for you. The same God that was able to raise Jesus from the dead, the same God that rules over all creation. That's the God, and in his finished work, that you can have hope. It's not wishful thinking. It's certain, it's sure, it's confident. You can put your trust in it, even in the darkest days of your life. There's a song that goes through my mind over and over again. "Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fears are gone. Because I know he holds a future, and life is worth a living just because he lives." Brothers and sisters, tonight our hope is in the one true and living God. It's not wishful thinking. You can bank on it. Your hope is in a God that's all-knowing. He's all-knowing. Nothing takes him by surprise. He knows what you're going through. Your hope is in a God that's all-powerful. He can do anything that he wills to do within his nature. Your hope is in a sovereign God who rules all creation. Life and death is in his hands. Your hope is in a God who's loving and merciful and only gives you good things. In him, you can put your trust, your confidence, and you can have hope. You can have hope. Psalm 71, verse 5 says, "For thou art my hope, O Lord God. Thou art my trust from my youth." Psalm 119, verse 14, "Thou art my hiding place and my shield. I hope in your word." Hope is a trust and a confidence in God and in his word. All his promises you can trust. They're just as sure as he is. You need not be afraid. You need not despair. You need not grow discouraged. For you have hope in the one true and living God. Psalm 43, verse 5 says, "Why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you sad? Why are you cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me?" Hope in God. Hope in God. What are some of the things we hope for that we can put our confidence in? There are many. I thought of a few to remind you of. You can be confident. You can have hope in your eternal life. Turn to Titus chapter 1, verse 2. I want you to learn this verse and learn where it is. It gives me a lot of comfort, and I want to share it with you. Titus, chapter 1. Verse 2. Titus chapter 1 says we have a hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. Such a small verse, but so powerful, isn't it? God cannot lie. Learn this verse. Refer to it often when you're struggling. We can have hope in eternal life because it's provided by a God that cannot lie. Every word and every line and every promise in Scripture is true. It's true. Think of all the promises of Scripture that you love. God will never leave me. God will never forsake me. God only gives us good things. He's a loving Father. All of them are true. God cannot lie. Do you remember what God told Balaam to tell Balak in Numbers? I think of that often also. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? What God says he will do, he can't lie. You can have hope and confidence in your eternal life. You can have a hope and a confidence of your home in heaven. Of your home in heaven. Colossians chapter 1, if you'd like to turn there, you can. Colossians chapter 1. I begin reading at verse 3. Here's another instance where Paul is praying for believers. He says, "We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love which ye have to all the saints, and for the hope," he's giving thanks here for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, the message of the gospel of truth, a home in heaven. You see, we not only have eternal life, but we have the hope of a glorious home in heaven, a wonderful, indescribable place. We can have confidence, we can have hope that there is a better place, a home for us in heaven. Next, we can have a hope and confidence in one day that we will be free from the presence of sin. free from the presence of sin. If you'd like to, turn to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. Begin reading in verse 1. Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now, right now, he says, we are the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. What a glorious hope that someday we shall be like him. Doesn't that excite you? It does me. Free from the struggles of sin. Free from the struggles of fear and discouragement and disappointment. Free from the struggles of questioning if God really loves us. One day we will gaze upon our God, and we shall be like him. Free from the constant struggle of sin. What a hope, what a confidence we have. If you're struggling with having a living and an abundant hope, I thought of, came up with four tips to help you this evening if you're struggling with hope. If you don't have it in your life. Tip number one, remember the source of your hope. Remember the source of your hope. We already talked about it, that our source of our hope is in God, the one true and living God. As the days get dark, won't you focus on God? Review his attributes, who he is. His words, his promises. Turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Verse 15, therefore, brethren, stand fast. Stand fast, it says. Don't give up and hold the traditions which ye have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, which has loved us and given us an everlasting consolation and good hope, through his grace. I've been thinking this week and last week, it's been going over in my mind about a name of God called Jehovah Jireh. You've heard that name, I'm certain. It means the God that will provide. The God that will provide. It also means that God can look ahead and provide. God sees ahead and provides. God knows long, long before we need something that we need it and will provide. If you're struggling tonight, focus on a God that provides. How many thousands and thousands of years ago, God knew your need tonight, and he has provided an answer for it. He's given you a family that loves you. He's given you his word and his promises in Scripture. He's given you the Holy Spirit to be your comforter. He's given you a church family that'll pray for you and care about you. In the dark days, when you lose hope, focus on God, your provider. He will not let you down. He's giving you everything that you need. Secondly, if you're struggling with having hope this evening, remember and focus that you're residing in a state of grace. You're residing in a state of grace. You know, hope, we often think of, we have a hope in the future. We have grace in the future. And that's all true. We're looking ahead to something good. But you're residing in the state of grace now. It's not all in the future. God is good now. God is giving you more than you deserve now. Now is God pouring out his riches on you. Now is God giving you many, many good things that you don't deserve. Your hope is not all in the future, it's now. It's today. It's not all future events, it's not all future promises. He's with you, he loves you, and he's providing for you now. And in that you can have hope. You can have hope. If you're struggling with hope tonight, remember the source of your hope. Remember that you're living now in a state of grace. The third thing you can do to help is study God's Word. If you desire to abound in hope, you have to know what you're hoping in. You have to know the promises of God. You have to read your Bible. We find that hope is found in the Scriptures, in God's Word. It's there he reveals his promises. It's there he reveals his love to you. It's there that you learn how faithful he is. Won't you read his Word and allow him to encourage you? And allow him to encourage you. Turn to Psalm 119, verse 49. Psalm 119. Verse 49. Remember the word unto thy servant, upon which thou hast caused me to hope. You see, we find our hope in God's word. This is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me. God's word has the power to build you up and strengthen you. Won't you read it? Won't you study it? Won't you believe it? It's how he's speaking to you. The evening that we took Nathan to the hospital and we got home, we were cleaning up the kitchen. And his Bible was laying on the counter. He uses the devotional beside the still water. And Tuesday's verse in that, which it was open to, was 1 Corinthians 16:13. It says, "Watch ye, stand fast in the faith. Quit ye like men and be strong." I hope in his dark days he remembers that. And I hope in your dark days you read the Bible and remember it. If you're struggling with hope, remember that the source of your hope is God. Remember that you live in a state of grace. Remember to read and study God's word. And lastly, remember to protect your mind. protect what goes into your mind. We all struggle with it. Our thoughts are focused on ourselves. Our thoughts are focused on how bad we have it. We repeat over and over again, poor me, poor me. Are you protecting your mind? Are you filling your mind with only good things? Are you filling your mind with truth? I realize we have thoughts, and we ask why. We ask questions that cause us to doubt the truths that we know, and it's dangerous. It goes through our minds, and we can't help that. But if we dwell on it, you're in dangerous territory. If you're dwelling on, does God love me? And you're doubting his love, you're in dangerous territory. If you're dwelling on thoughts that cause you to doubt and cause you to fear and cause you to have unrest, you're in dangerous territory. Turn, if you would, I want you to see this verse, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Verse 8. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 8. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. God tells us here to protect our vital parts. Protect our hearts. Protect our hearts with faith and love, and protect our minds with the hope of our salvation. Put on the helmet of your salvation. Protect your mind with the knowledge that God loves you, with the knowledge that he gave his son for you, with the knowledge of God's love and his provision. Protect your minds. God tells us in Philippians chapter 4, that verse that's a favorite of many. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Think on these things. Protect your minds. Don't allow the untruth, the lies of fear and doubt to enter there and reside there. Fill your minds with the truth of God's Scripture. If you want to abound in hope tonight, if you're struggling, focus on God, the source of your hope. Remember that you live in a state of grace. God is good to you now. This very evening, he is pouring out his blessings upon you. Study God's word. Believe it. And remember to protect your mind. As thoughts, untrue thoughts, go through them, don't let them stay there. In closing, I'd like you to turn one last time to Hebrews chapter 6. I love this verse. I trust it's a favorite of many of you. Hebrews chapter 6. Verse 19, Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19. Which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, which entereth into that within the veil. The picture here is a ship caught at sea in a terrible storm. It's being beaten up by the wind, battered by the waves. It's a hard ride. And it casts out an anchor. It casts out an anchor. You see, the ship is surviving. The ship is safe because it casts out an anchor and it caught hold of something firm. And when the anchor catches hold, it swings the ship into the face of the storm. The anchor here is described as our hope. You see, we're safe and secure in the midst of a terrible storm because we have an anchor that caught hold within the veil, into the very presence of God. That's where our hope is. It's where it catches hold. Right in the very presence of the one true and living God. Today, if you're sick and you've grown weary of it all, today, if you're grieving, today, if you're afraid of what tomorrow will bring, you have hope. And your hope is grounded firm and fast in the one true and living God. Don't give up. Don't doubt his love. Trust in him. You have a living and abundant hope in Jesus Christ. God bless you.
Let's all stand for closing prayer.